Welcome, everyone, to Xenonubers Podcast, a.k.a. XNU. My name is Cass, and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode 103. This podcast show is for all the Xenonuber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So, hello, everyone. Welcome back to XNU. It's good to be back. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to everyone who has sent in an email to my wife and I in condolences. I really appreciate the kind words and the sympathies and the thoughts that you have sent out for me and my wife, and I want to say it's been truly, truly a pleasure and an honor speaking with you, and thank you so much for it. Okay, so on with the show. Let's get into finding out what's going on out there in the world and get back into our show.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Well, first and foremost, to announce that I've just realized that the Lucy and Renee HQ site has been closed down. When I logged on to it, it says from a message from Emma, it says, I have decided to close the site. I will make a magazine instead with Lucy and Renee, for real, this time. You who know me, you have me on Facebook and MSN, just ask me and I will answer your questions. So, sad to see it go, but, you know, we wish Emma best wishes on her endeavors to do what she wants to do with the Renee and Lucy Show magazine. So, good luck, Emma. The song snippet you hear on this week's show is called The Cupid Shuffle. It's only about 2 years old, but a friend of mine sent it to me and said that her family had did the dance to this on video. And I'm trying to see if I can get a hold of her mother and pay a costly sum to get any blackmail against her, but it's not working so far. But thanks, Vanessa, for that, and that's called the Cupid Shuffle. So, on with the show. Well, on this week's show, as you can hear from the turning of the pages, is the recommendation for the book. And I don't have any book recommendations per se that's anyone sent in, but I do have a recommendation for a story for you that I highly recommend for you to read. It's called Banshee's Honor by... I'm not even going to attempt to say this. I think it's Sahych, S-H-A-Y-C-H, Sahych, something like that. Anyway, it's at the Athenaeum, and it's also at the Academy of Bards. I'll have a link on my show notes for both of them. But it's a very long story, but an excellent story. Similar to the lines of True Colors, where you really get into the story and you really appreciate the angst that the characters go through and how they develop and what the storyline is. So I recommend this. It's called Banshee's Honor, and it's by S-C-H-Y-C-H, Sahych, I'm going to say, but if I'm bastardizing that, I do apologize. But it's a really good story, so go out and read it. And the other thing, it's free! Okay, in this week's movie recommendation, we have, it's called A Person of Interest. And in the summary, it goes like this. In an 18-month period, three professional women have disappeared from a small New England town. Sheriff Nikki Wells, Elise Rovinsky, who has learned that state budget cutbacks will soon eliminate her job, is determined to find out who's behind these terrible crimes. In an act of desperation, Nikki asks James Hart, Kyle Corbin, a local psychic, to help solve the mystery before her tenure comes to an end. However, Detective Sandra Franks, a Julie Bell, Nikki's lover, believes James is a fake and that her girlfriend is in over her head. James suspects someone is out to frame him for the disappearances. Could it be Sandra? Ultimately, their investigation will uncover a terrible secret that will bring them all to the brink. So that's called a person of interest. So if anybody gets to see that, please send me in a review. I'd like to pass it on.
Come and get
some. Okay. Over on Renee's homepage of reneeoconnor.net, going back a few days here, we're going to go back from the 3rd, the 16th of March. She's got several messages posted here, and it says, hello everyone, I'm filming in Texas. It feels great to be working on such an incredible lead role with a purposeful team. Hopefully you will hear more about it soon. I want to share with you a talented and inspiring artist, Kurosho Zolani. He is a dear friend of Mary Rocamora's and someone whose musical talents I greatly admire. Enjoy his gift to us. Take care, Renee. And it says you can watch Kurosh in action here, and there's a YouTube video. So check it out and enjoy that. Then on the next day, actually the same day, she's posted, "Hi gang, remember Michelle Grant speaking in Bedside Table, interviewing the Rock Video Channel about her environmental mission with the Jewish National Fund? If you'd like to join her or support the mission itself, please click on the link below for more information." And she gives the link. And it says, "Thanks to Michelle for being a strong advocate for our delicate living earth. My best, Renee." And then on the 17th, Words Unspoken Method Fest screening details. Go to www.methodfest.com, click on screening schedules, and under Shorts Program Number 7, Sibling Sacrifices, the first screening is on Sunday, March 28th at 1 p.m. at the Founders Hall. Second screening on Monday, March 29th at 5 p.m. in the Founders Hall. You can also find the screenings listed if you click on the link to buy tickets. It will take you to the Brown Paper Tickets website. Words Unspoken is listed under the Shorts Program Number 7, Sibling Sacrifices. Unfortunately, Renee would be unable to attend as she's currently filming in Texas. So that was listed for her on her website. And then over at the Xena Fan Club website, on Lucy and Renee updates, it says Lucy Lawless and Xena and Spartacus on SiriusOUTQ.com today at 6 p.m. I want my gay TV and LGBT history of an American television. And it says, heard from Renee, she's on her way to Texas to start filming, which you've just heard on the other one. And Spartacus Episode 6 breaks the million viewer mark. The 2011 Xena Convention, January 28th through 30th, was accomplished, and she gives an overview of that as well. So you can check out her site on creationentertainment.com.
Come and get some.
And now, back to our show. We continue on with A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. We are on part 14. The candles were guttering low by the time they'd both cleaned up, again, and gotten Dory to sleep. The party outside, however, was going on full force, and the sounds of a revelry were drifting into the window, as well as echoing faintly through the stone walls of the chamber. Gabrielle stood up from tucking Dory's blanket in around her, and turned to find Xena perched in the windowsill, her tan skin collecting the moonlight in a very pleasant way. "Well..." The bard sauntered over and draped an arm over Xena's shoulder. "Going to be a little hard to sleep with all that going on." Ghostly blue eyes, gone gray, fastened on her.
"You were planning on sleeping?"
"Oh." Gabrielle felt her napier's lift at the darkly seductive tone in her partner's voice. "No. Not really," she admitted, hitching up her shift and perching on the sill next to Xena. "I'd figure I'd update my diary. Find something to wear for tomorrow. Check my..." Xena's lips lazily worked their path across the palm, now held in the warrior's hands. "Inhibitions at the door."
A breath.
"You know..."
Xena nibbled at the sensitive spot between Gabrielle's thumb and the curve of her fingers. "Do I?"
"No."
Gabrielle closed her eyes, savoring the touch.
"Well, you know me, that's for sure."
A soft chuckle floated over the noise outside. "Come here."
Xena tugged her closer, sliding her other arm around Gabrielle's waist as the bard slipped willingly between her legs and wound her arms around Xena's neck.
"Do you know something?"
She whispered in a conveniently close ear, just before she took the edges of it between her teeth and bit down gently. Gabrielle considered the question. "I know I really like what you're doing."
Her voice broke a little on the last word, as Xena's breath warmed the side of her face. She turned her head slightly and met Xena's lips, tasting the faint residue of honey as she explored them. It felt very good to be alone, and safe, and the recipient of Xena's sensual attentions.
I know there's no other place I'd rather be, and no other person I'd rather be with.
You do know a lot, don't you? Xena complimented her as she found a gap in the front of Gabrielle's shirt and took advantage of it, her fingers lightly stroking the soft skin underneath it.
Ah.
Gabrielle's answer with a wordless, guttural sound and an insistent nibble on the warrior's lower lip. Music drifted in the window from the party outside, pipes and gentle harps in a light melody. Xena nipped her nose and gazed into her eyes.
Dance with me?
She grinned invitingly. Gabrielle eased to her feet as she felt Xena's body shift, and they both managed to stand without letting go of each other. She snuggled closer as they started moving to the music, reflecting once again just how well the two of them fit together. The Amazon sometimes had a problem, she remembered, from their last festival in the village. If two of them were the same height, and they tried to do what she and Xena were doing, part of their anatomies, well, they bumped a lot.
What are you thinking about?
Xena asked as he moved in a circle, swaying to the strands of soaring pipes outside.
Breath.
Gabrielle answered promptly, laying a few kisses on the curve of Xena's, which was pressed against her cheek.
Oh, really?
Xena chuckled, then slid her hand slowly up her partner's side and cupped her palm around the bard's breast, her thumb exploring its surface teasingly. She felt Gabrielle's hold on her tighten, and their bodies pressed together, skin's warmth erupting through the cloth that separated them. Her fingers found the ties holding the bard's tunic closed, and she tugged one. Gabrielle caught on to the game. As they swayed to the music, she started her own assault on Xena's shirt. She caught a tie between her teeth and pulled her head back, releasing the fabric and exposing a patch of tan skin. A second rewarded her with even more, as she felt Xena's touch trickle down her now bare belly. The warrior's scent surrounded her as she got the last tie loose and their bare skin brushed together, the warmth counterpoint by the breeze that entered through the window and fluttered the calendars around them. Heat and chill. Xena stripped the shirt off Gabrielle's body and shrugged her own off, letting her hands wander over her partner's compact frame, as the bard's lips tasted achingly sensitive areas within her reach. She felt Gabrielle's ribs expand under her fingertips and heard the soft rasp of her indrawn breath as she moved against her.
Hey.
Xena tipped her head closer to the soft whisper.
Love you.
Funny, as she never got tired of hearing that. Xena cupped the back of her soulmate's neck, and their lips met. As they did, Xena felt their connection surge. It was always a faintly odd sensation, in this case like being bathed unexpectedly in pleasantly warm water. As she prolonged the kiss, though, the feeling intensified. The music, the oak-scented breeze, and the golden candlelight echoed and intensified, almost like she was experiencing it all through two sets of senses, hers and Gabrielle's. She could feel the loving emotion inside her soulmate, and it filled her as they tumbled into the bed. It was incredible. It triggered in her a response she hadn't expected, an eruption of everything she felt for Gabrielle, all the love, the joy she'd brought Xena, and the sweetness of their relationship was that built up inside her and cascaded back through their link. Her hands claimed Gabrielle's body. She felt the motion as the bard inhaled, and heard the soft, wondering gasp of surprise as a combination of physical and emotional tension descended over her.
I love you, too.
Xena uttered into Gabrielle's ear, just before she let the intensity overwhelm them both. As she strove to touch every part of her, inside and out, blending everything she learned about Gabrielle with everything she felt about her. Gabrielle wrapped her arms and legs around her, and their bodies arched together, their souls joining and becoming one bright flame, one that eclipsed any possibility of darkness. The powerful surge seemed to last forever, but when it did fade, and Xena could breathe again, she found her entire body shaking in pure reaction. Gabrielle was curled as tightly against her as possible, her breathing still labored. They were both covered in sweat she didn't remember feeling, and the breeze blew across them, raising bumps on both their skins. Xena pulled a bit of the linen covering the bed over them, then just let herself sink into the sated wonder. Gabrielle had her eyes closed, but as she looked closer, she could see the bard's lips moving faintly, reciting soundless words she couldn't quite decipher. Oh well, time enough to ask her later. Xena's eyes drifted shut, and even the charged sounds of the night outside faded, leaving them both in a ball of conjoined peaceful bliss. Gabrielle woke to a full sunlight painting her, its warmth making her blink as she lifted her hand to shade her eyes. The sounds of the city were unmistakably audible outside, as she watched the dust motes drift into the golden light for a few breaths, before she turned her head slightly and looked up. It's late. Xena didn't move an inch, her eyes half open sleepily regarding Gabrielle.
Disgraceful,
she drawled softly. Just a pair of hedonistic sloths. Gabrielle lifted a hand and curled it into a hook.
You showed me a sloth once.
She turned and squirmed closer to Xena, hooking her fingers behind the warrior's neck.
There. Now the sloth is hanging onto a tree in the forest.
Xena's blue eyes twinkled, picking up the sunlight and shining with it. A thought occurred to Gabrielle.
Dory's still asleep?
Nah,
Xena answered peacefully. She's been up, been changed, had a snack, and she's busy playing with Bitty Boo over there near our bags.
You do that?
She's a little young for me having to taught her to cook,
Xena reminded dryly.
Gabrielle
stretched her body out to its full length, then recurled it around Xena's.
Thanks. It feels really good to be a sloth for one morning.
She arched a neck as Xena's fingers scratched it. Xena's eyes were closed.
We're supposed to meet everyone for breakfast.
Tough.
They're gonna tease us.
Not if they know what's good for 'em.
Xena growled, extending arms and curling them around Gabrielle's body.
They show up here, and I'll...
She paused as Gabrielle's teeth closed on a very sensitive part of her anatomy.
You're not so tough, are you?
The bard burred saucily.
All I gotta do is... Ooh!
She released Xena's nipple quickly as a long finger tapped against her most ticklish spot.
Okay. On second thought, if they show up, toss them on their butts out the window.
Xena chuckled deeply in her throat.
Hey, Dory!
A dark shaggy head popped up.
Boo?
Bring Momo a cookie.
Gabrielle heard the sound of something moderately heavy being dragged across the floor. She opened her eyes, lifting her body up as Dory came over to the bed, pulling herself along with one hand.
Hi, sweetie.
Dory abruptly disappeared, startling her mother. Then she got up and toddled up to her, holding out one of Xena's trail bars.
Good!
Gabrielle beamed at her.
Oh, sweetheart, thank you.
She accepted the offering.
What are you doing over there? Bitty Boo make pictures,
Dory told her.
Draw Mama.
Gabrielle reached out and combed through the baby's unruly hair with her fingers.
You drew a picture of me?
Yes!
Dory ambled over to where she'd been sitting and retrieved something, then came back over and offered it to her mother. The bard regarded the smeared inkblot fondly.
That's very pretty, honey.
She reached behind her and gave Xena a pinch to stop the warrior from laughing.
Mama!
Dory sounded very satisfied with herself.
Why don't you go draw a picture of Boo?
Gabrielle suggested.
I'd bet she liked that.
Make Boo!
Dory seemed to like the idea. She headed back over to her bags and sat down.
Boo go fly!
Ooh, a flying Boo. I bet that's going to be pretty.
Gabrielle rolled her head back and gave her partner a teasing look.
I like flying Boos.
She took a bite of a trail bar, then held it out to Xena. Watching, she lifted her head up and neatly chomped off a bit for herself.
Breakfast in bed. What could be better?
The bard exhaled happily, memories of the night before drifting lazily in her mind's eye.
Wow, I feel great.
Xena's chin rested against her shoulder.
Me too.
She spotted a crumb that had fallen on Gabrielle's neck and licked it up with a snap of her tongue, eliciting a snorting giggle from her impromptu table. With a smile, she wrapped an arm more snugly around Gabrielle and relaxed, content to watch a few leaves drift by the window, flickering in the warm light.
How's your leg feeling?
Gabrielle's voice interrupted her ideal daydreaming.
Leg?
Xena's brow creased, then she grunted and slid the linen off her, lifting the injured limb into the sunlight for inspection. Only smooth skin over rippling muscles met their eyes, as she flexed the joint with obvious ease.
Great.
Gabriel tickered above her knees.
Guess we'd better get up to face the music, partner,
she said with a touch of regret.
Yeah.
Xena agreed, returning her chin to rest on Gabriel's shoulder, her gaze pensive.
Gabriel studied the profile so close to her. Plaster heroes?
She hazarded, wryly, knowing the lords of the Athenian elite would now grate on both of them. Xena nodded, just a little.
Second thoughts?
The warrior shook her head firmly.
I've always tried to suck it up and take responsibility for what I did,
she said.
But Athens encourages slavery, and Athens is thirsting for war. I'm not going to sit here and say that's my fault.
A pause.
Or yours.
Gabriel rolled onto her back and gazed at her.
Even though you could have prevented some of it?
Yep.
The bard traced her partner's jawline affectionately.
I think we've both learned a lot on this trip, she said softly, about being responsible for, to each other.
A tiny smirk twitched around Xena's lips.
New trick for an old dog, she drawled. Just goes to show you.
Gabriel hugged her, then paused as a thought occurred to her.
Z.
Yes?
What are we going to do if they ask you to lead the Athenian army?
Same thing we're going to do if they beg you to stay the bard of Athens.
Xena replied in a calm voice.
Just say no.
Just like that?
Yes.
Gabriel pondered the idea, wondering if it was going to be just that easy.
Can we at least say no thank you?
A snort.
That's my bard.
Gabriel strode through the streets of Athens, bound for the Academy of Bards, flanking her with Epin and Ephany, providing a sturdy Amazon presence as they made their way towards their goal. A messenger had arrived at the stadium almost at the same time the Amazons had, conveniently circumventing the teasing she and Xena would have received, given that she had still been in her shift, sitting in the window updating her diary while Xena sat on the floor playing with Dory. The bardic elders, it seemed, wanted Gabriel's presence.
Hey, Gabriel.
Ephany spoke up. She tore her attention from a very colorful merchant's wagon, which had been beautifully woven mats displayed all over it. The regent caught up a step to her.
Is this a summons a problem?
Two richly dressed men caught her eye, smiling and waving as they passed. Gabriel returned away.
I don't think so,
she answered Ephany.
Probably just want to square things away for the ceremony.
You don't think they're going to ask you to stick around?
Pony asked.
I mean, you did win their thing, right?
We had a deal,
Gabriel told her.
They knew I wasn't staying. I said I'd try to help them out, but that was it.
She paused on their way through the upper part of the market to dig a coin from her belt pouch and purchase one of the green and red apples in a nearby stall.
Want one?
She offered. Ephany and Eponym exchanged glasses.
Sure,
Pony blurted.
I like apples.
She selected one.
Want to share?
She eyed Ephany. The Amazon regent gazed doubtfully at the fruit. Gabriel paid the vendor.
Guys, they're just apples. Would you just relax?
She bit into hers, enjoying the crisp flesh.
Come on.
They continued up the street, climbing the hill towards the richer area of town. As Gabriel was recognized, finely dressed men and women nodded politely to her, smiles plastered on their faces. Gabriel wondered if, despite their outward enthusiasm, their bias against her provincial background was putting their silk, certainly hand-fitted underwraps, into a huge knot.
Oh well.
She shrugged off the thought and angled her steps towards the academy. She was dressed in her common Amazon-style traveling garb, complete with a well-made but equally well-worn boots. The heat was becoming oppressive. She was glad to feel what breeze there was against her exposed skin. Getting out of the city and into the forest was looking better and better. Gabriel led the way up to the stone steps, to the large wooden doors that stood open to the air. She paused a moment, looking at the carved stone panel outside that spelled out the name of the place. Then she shook her head in some amusement and walked inside. It was cool. The buzz of the street outside faded into the peace of the stone walls, the air permeated with a mix of sandalwood oil and the musky scent of parchment. Gabriel walked confidently through, aware of the wary eyes on the Amazons following her. Out of their element. Gabriel let her fingers trail against the wall, pondering the multifaceted nature of her life. This place was, in a very real sense, part of who she was, just as the Amazons were also a part of who she was. Weird. Gabriel reached the archway that led to the Elders' Council's chambers and walked through it to the space beyond, an Amazon escort hard on her heels. The fountains were doing their usual thing, though she noticed someone had added some of the big, fat goldfish to one of them that she'd had last seen in Chin. As she entered, the Bard's Council, clustered round the comfortable seating area, looked up. "You wanted to see me?" Elderon looked relieved.
"Ah, good Bard, yes, please. We would like your counsel on a matter that has just been brought to us, one that disturbs us greatly."
His eyes slipped past her to her escort, then returned to her face in question. "Uh-oh." "Sure." Gabriel stepped carefully around the pillows and walked towards the council chamber. "This is Ephany, who is my Amazon regent, and Eponin, our weapons master."
"Ah, excellent."
The answer was surprising.
"Considering the circumstances, their experience will be welcome."
Double uh-oh.
"What's going on?"
"Well?"
Anullus clapped his hands.
"We've been drafted, as it were, by the council."
"Drafted?"
"Conscripted into the service of the city, to help lead us into war."
"They don't waste time, do they?" Gabrielle exhaled, putting her hands on her hips. "What do they have in mind?"
"A festival,"
Elenius answered promptly, as the rest of them nodded.
"They wanted every bard in the city to present a story about the ferocity and triumph of the Athens soldiers, or how about the Athenian people won the day in some conquest or another."
Ephany peered cautiously around Gabriel's dirty shoulder. "There haven't been in many wars, and you've lost most of them," she mentioned. "What if there aren't that many stories?"
"We shall make them up, of course."
The response came back.
"Won't we, Gabriel?"
"You know," Gabriel spoke in the silence that followed, "I really should have just stayed in bed with Zena today." She shook her head, circling the council and heading for the pitcher of cider, sitting prominently on the table.
"Well?"
Elenius murmured, as they all looked at to each other, awkwardly.
"That was surprisingly pithy."
"You have no idea." Ephany smothered a wry smirk.
"Ain't that the truth?"
Pony covered her eyes.
"Bull, go patty-patty."
Dory scrambled over and seated herself between her playmates' spread legs. Zena was occupied with packing their things, carefully folding and tucking the items into the bag that always seemed far too small to hold them. She had always kept the kit to a minimum, her weapons, an extra set of leathers, boots, and a few shifts along with her healer's kit was about it. Not Gabrielle. The warrior smiled and shook her head. Even from the start, the bard had the maddening habit of picking up anything she could get her hands on and stashing it away in their gear. Rocks, pieces of petrified wood, trinkets, knick-knacks from across half of Greece. No wonder Argo had taken so long to warm up to her.
"Patty, huh?"
She put the bag aside for a moment and held her hands up.
"Okay, pat me."
Dory racked at her hands with her own, much smaller ones, giggling furiously.
"Boo, go home now?"
"Yep."
Zena clasped her hands together and watched the door to copy her, then held her hands out again to be hit.
"Gonna go soon, Dory. We'll get out of this place and head home."
"Good."
Dory abandoned her game and her stuffed toy and crawled into Zena's lap instead, giving her a hug.
"I like."
Zena considered the long trip.
"Me too."
She scooped the child up and cradled her in her arms.
"I hear we got puppies at home. You want to go see the puppies?"
"Puppets."
Dory pulled at a bit of unraveled embroidery on Zena's shift.
"Good puppets."
"Did you know I found Ares when he was a puppy?"
Zena asked.
"Guff is a puppet?"
"Yep."
"What Guff?"
Dory rested her head against Zena's chest and looked up at her.
"Boo, you go get Guff? Come here."
"Nah."
The warrior wiggled a finger at her, pleased when the child clutched at it with strong hands.
"Guff would be sad here, Dory. He might get owie," she told her daughter. "When we leave, we'll go far away. Then Guff will show up. I promise."
"Okay."
Dory inspected her buddy's hands.
We go now."
"Soon."
Zena leaned over and gave her a kiss on the head, then surged upright, arms closing around Dory instinctively as she heard a knock on the door.
"Yeah?"
Cautiously, the edge of the door moved inward, and the silver-haired of her friend, the Athenian guard commander, appeared. He blinked as his eyes took in Zena's state of disheveled drun dress, but he gave her a respectful nod anyway.
"May I come in?"
"Sure." Zena seated Dory on her lap and crossed her ankles, seeing no need to move from her spot on the floor. "What brings you here?" The man settled cautiously on a nearby chair and studied Dory for a moment.
"A lot has happened the last few days,"
he remarked.
But you know that.
Hmm. Xena watched him with wary eyes. You telling me the council still wants my hide? He chuckled.
No.
A pause.
Well, actually, yes. But not in the same way.
The tall man leaned forward and rested his elbows on his knees.
I've got an offer for you.
Not interested.
You haven't heard it yet.
If it involves me staying anywhere near the city past tonight,
I'm not interested. Xena, hear me out.
He coaxed.
It's not what you think. No, come on. You've got a long history with a lot of people. But what I'm offering wipes that clean, as far as our influence runs.
Pale blue eyes glinted softly. How far is that? The guard captain smiled, his hands folding in front of him.
That'll depend on you.
Here they were, back in the stadium. Gabriel sat quietly on a handy short column, her boots' heels drumming lightly against the stone surface as she waited for everything to start. It was hot. It was very, very crowded. And bards, the city council, a lot of big, husky-looking guards surrounded her. To one side of the platform, they'd constructed in the center of the stadium, she could see her Amazons milling around with the Amphipolitan militia and the rest of the elders from her village. Around the rest of the platform were just lots and lots and lots of people, citizens and visitors, and athletes, the latter seeming now to accept their fate, joking and laughing as they waited to be recognized. The wine merchants were doing a brisk business. Gabrielle twitched at her snowy white, full-length toga and sighed.
What's wrong, old friend?
Homer appeared and knelt down next to her, most of the marks of privation gone from his face.
I feel like a Hessian virgin in this thing,
the bard muttered.
Oh, really?
Homer scratched his jaw.
So, tell me, Gabrielle.
He continued mildly.
What does a Hessian virgin feel like?
Gabrielle opened her mouth to answer, then abruptly shut it with a click of her teeth. She gave her friend a wry look and slapped him lightly on the shoulder.
Almost got me,
she admitted with a grin.
At least I got you to smile.
Homer grinned back.
Come on, Gabrielle. You come to the Athens to talk about taxes and end up running the Academy of Bards. Why the long face?
He held a hand out towards the nearing wine cellar and secured two cups, one of which he passed to Gabrielle.
You'd think you'd gotten sentenced to hard labor or something.
What would you consider running the academy?
Gabrielle countered with an arched brow.
Thanks.
She took the cup, then she hitched one knee up and circled it with one arm.
It's just not something I ever wanted. I don't really know what to do with, she said. Got a life back home. I don't want this one.
Really?
Homer looked at her curiously.
Not even a little tempting?
The bard shook her head.
Wow.
Homer murmured. He remained silent for a moment, then exhaled.
Yes.
Yes, what?
Gabriel looked at him, distracted.
I'd consider running the academy.
Gabriel was honestly surprised.
Really?
Homer chuckled softly.
Gabriel, we can't all be like you,
he said.
I could never wander out in the world, sleeping in trees and fighting monsters. Athens is a place I'd want to be. And if I want to be here, then I want to get somewhere in life, doing what I do.
The bard exhaled.
What about Celesta?
Homer lifted one shoulder in a shrug.
I know better how to be here the next time,
he said.
If you leave, it'll be up for grabs again.
Gabriel smiled gently and put a hand on his shoulder.
I'm leaving.
She leaned forward and gave him a kiss on the cheek.
Good luck.
Homer looked her in the eye, a faint blush visible on his skin.
Thanks,
he murmured.
And thanks for getting me out of jail in one piece.
A wry look crossed his face.
Bet you never expected to see me there, huh?
Well, actually,
Gabriel studied him.
Wasn't that surprised? Your family came looking for me after you vanished. Asked me to help find you.
Homer appeared stunned.
My family?
The bard nodded.
Your cousin found us on the way here.
She smiled at her old friend.
Before you take over Athens, you might want to go see them. I think they miss you.
A buzz of noise caught their attention. They looked up to see the crowd stirring, and Gabriel both spotted and sensed her soulmate's presence near the edge of the stadium.
Ah.
She got up and took a sip of her wine.
I think we're getting started.
She watched the winning athletes gathering on near the arch, bodies glistening in their very scant coverings. Xena appeared from the shadows Gabriel knew she'd be in, standing a little apart even in the press of the crowd around her. The warrior's head slowly turned as she scanned her surroundings, stopping when the pale blue eyes met hers. Gabriel inhaled at the almost shocking power of their connection, surprised she couldn't actually see it arching between them. Even at its distance, she could see and sense Zena's eyes narrow slightly. She allowed a tiny grin to appear before she continued her study of the terrain. On her back, Gabriel could see Dory clinging, her head resting on Zena's shoulder, as she gazed around her. She wished again that she'd been able to talk to her partner before the ceremony, given what had happened. Gabriel scrubbed her face with one hand and took another sip of wine, wondering not for the first time how she managed to get herself into the stuff she did. Zena was not happy. She could sense threats all around her. She had no weapons on, and she had Dory strapped to her back. Cautiously, she edged out through the arch and paused just inside, her eyes flickering over its crowded interior with savage intensity. Until halfway across, when a pair of misty green eyes intercepted her, gathering in her attention with an effortless surge of nape-haired prickling power.
"Mama,"
Dory burbled softly.
"Oh, yeah,"
Zena uttered back, giving her partner a smirk.
"And she's going to have a fit when I tell her what we did, Dory."
"Meck."
Zena ripped her eyes off of Gabriel's shimmering white form and continued her dull study of the stadium. But after a second, her look sneaked back to watch Danelle the distracted bard as she talked to several of the people around her. The long toga draped over her body and gave her an older, more sophisticated appearance, enhanced by the slim band of gold that crossed her forehead and threaded its way through her pale hair. For just a moment, she stepped out of her present and wondered if this was where Gabriel would have ended up if she'd stayed here all those long years ago instead of returning to the road. Would she have risen through the ranks against people like Celeste and Homer? Zena studied Gabrielle's expressive posture. To her eyes, the bard's somewhat frustrated impatience was very obvious, and while she gracefully joined in the conversation around her, Zena suspected it would not take much of the hyper-political claptrap to have her partner pulling her neatly groomed hair out right out of her head. She lived too long with Zena and was too used to her no-nonsense straightforward style, and though she could and did play the delicate give-and-take games that a skilled negotiator must, her maturing nature had somewhat grown past that a little. She might, Zena allowed, have ended up on the platform, but she had become a different person, and the warrior was egotistical enough to truly believe that person would not have been as good as the one she is watching now. Gabriel must have sensed her watching, because the bard peeked over her shoulder and met Zena's eyes. She smiled and wagged little fingers at the warrior, then gave her platform compatriots a look of wry exasperation.
"Mama,"
Dory pointed.
"Oh, look, Mama."
"Yeah, I see her, shorty."
Zena waved back at her.
"Come here." Waved to Mama.
She took Dory's hand and waggled it, causing the recipient of the wave to chuckle. The men and women around her were staring, Zena realized. She gave them all an evil look.
"What's the matter? Never seen a kid before?"
she growled, making them all shift nervously and edge away from her. She regarded the increased space around with a contented grunt and exhaled, wishing the whole damn thing were over. The crowd of athletes around her started to move, and Zena allowed herself to be herded along with them. Though that crowd, which she started cheering unrestrainedly. Through the crowd, which started to cheer unrestrainedly, she felt Dory drum her feet against her back as a child grunted.
"What's wrong, Dory?"
"Owie, too big!"
Dory had her hand over her ear. Zena glanced into Dory and realized she put a fist over the side of her own head, the noise of the crowd making her inner ear buzz uncomfortably.
"Got that from me," she admitted with a scent of wry enjoyment. "Sorry."
"Bad!"
"Yeah. Well, remind me later to tell you why I taught your mama to sing, okay?"
Zena advised her.
"Here, you stay with Grandma."
She unfastened the backpack Dory was tucked in and swung her around as they came even with a group of familiar faces.
"Mother, can you..."
"Sure."
Zyrene stepped forward.
"You look...
lovely,"
Johann stated.
"Practical,"
her mother decided.
"Naked."
Eponin spoke up succinctly.
"Better you hurry up. You're going to get burned in places even Gab won't be able to reach."
Zena gave them all a look, and then stalked on by, disdaining the low steps up to the platform and simply leaping towards as all the winners gathered together and responded to the cheers. The bards had gathered on one side, with Gabrielle at their center, and the game judges and officials next to them. Zena slipped between some really large, somewhat hairy, sweating bodies, and ducked behind a guard, finding a spot she could stand in and actually breathe. After a moment, her peripheral vision picked up a familiar figure edging closer to her as the speeches started. Gabriel removed the last sticky fingers from her forearm and joined her.
"We've got trouble,"
they both stated at the same time.
Xena's eyebrow lifted. What's your problem?
They're trying to coerce me into leading them into a festival devoted to war.
The warrior saddled up. I can top that, she said. They're trying to coerce me into leading them into war.
You expected that,
Gabriel murmured. I didn't expect them to offer me complete amnesty, the perpetual relief from taxes for Amphipolis for it, the warrior replied shortly. Miss Green Eyes popped open.
Centaur farts! Here I thought them offering me the best villa up on the hill and 20 slaves was impressive.
They were both quiet, as the head judge praised the merits of all the competitors.
So, what'd you say?
Gabriel finally ventured to ask. I told them to kiss my ass,
Xena muttered.
Gabriel could not, quite, manage not to let her eyes drift across her partner's very scantily clad form. Her shoulders relaxed, though.
So did I, she said. And boy, are the bards pissed.
So's the council, Xena agreed. See you over there. Gabriel peered past her to where a group of older men were gathering.
Uh-oh,
she whispered.
What are we going to do?
Get out of here.
How?
The bard looked around at the crushing crowd.
Xena, we've got a whole family here. What?
Xena exhaled as the jar just started calling up the winners.
I'll figure something out, she said. Just get ready to run.
Run.
Gabriel forced a smile on her as Elenius motioned her forward to present the laurel wreaths. The crowd was so thick, she doubted even Goliath the giant could have run them over. But the bard straightened her shoulders and appeared to the sea of faces. Xena would have a plan. She was sure it would be a good one. A motion caught her eye, and she suddenly saw the Athenian guard forming a ring around the back of the stadium.
Oh boy.
Hey, Gabriel.
Homer's whisper reached her.
This'll make a great story, won't it?
Oh, yeah,
she answered, just before she let Elenius weigh her arms down with the laurel leaves.
As long as you like surprise endings.
Xena waited her turn, outwardly bored, but inwardly working very hard to figure out a way to get them all out of Athens before things got even more complicated. There was no easy way out of the stadium for her, much less everyone else. Her eyes scanned the guards gathering at the entrances, and she reviewed the dark faces of the council members, bound on getting their own way. She could tell by their expressions that they thought they had the situation covered, and well in hand. Surely Xena would not try to break out by force, not with all these relatively helpless, innocent Amphipolitans standing by. Well, Xena sorted out her options. They were right. She wasn't about to endanger her family and friends. On the other hand, she wasn't about to let them be all forcibly detained either.
And of course, the winner of our games...
Ah, my cue. Xena flicked her hands.
From the fair city of Amphipolis.
Xena's eyes narrowed.
Xena!
The roar really did surprise her, a little. It made her eyebrows twitch. As she stepped forward, a sudden impulse grabbed her. With a grin, she lifted her arms and accepted the accolade of the crowd, feeling the thrum of noise beat against her mostly bare skin. Not many times in her life she'd ever have this chance, right? Xena let the more savage part of her nature surface, responding to the raw energy and echoing it back to them. Out of the corner of her eye, she could see the council members watching her, the anger in their faces warring with a flickering unease.
Sure you want me, boys?
Xena considered. Maybe she should just take command of the whole place. The army would follow her. The citizens loved her. The gods knew anything would be better than a pack of jackals currently running the city. Maybe if she...
Are you done preening?
Gabriel's mildly amused subvocal whisper reached her. Okay, maybe not. Xena relaxed her body, and then she turned and approached her partner. Gabriel was holding a crown of laurel leaves, as she scented it between her hands, ready to put thing on Xena's head. She never much liked togas, and what would she do with a stone plowless anyway? The crowd's noise increased, and she put aside her thoughts of Grecian conquest as she studied the women waiting for her. The rest of the athletes had ducked to receive the accolade from the fair-haired woman, and the bard evidently expected Xena to do the same, since hopping up and down like a bunny to reach her head would hardly suit the occasion. With the roar of the audience still making her ears buzz, Xena solved the problem for her in her own inimitable way. Gracefully, she lowered herself to one knee in front of Gabrielle, bringing her head even with the bard's chest. She tilted her head back a little, suppressing a smile when she saw the moment unrestrained surprise on her partner's face. There had been times in her life when she'd been forced to bow her head to others. Somewhere along the way, she decided it just wasn't ever going to happen to her ever again. Doing it voluntarily, however,
was a different thing. Curiously, the sound muted around them as Gabrielle shook her head a bit and stepped forward, settling the ring of leaves around Xena's head. She adjusted it just a little and then stepped back, hesitating, before she extended a hand to her partner and offered to help her stand. Surprisingly, Xena took it, gracefully standing and bringing the bard's hand to her lips before she released it. She watched Gabrielle's dite to the huge, watching crowd, and predictably, a blush slowly worked its way up the bard's throat.
"Well," Gabrielle said, "congratulations."
"You too," Xena replied, reaching out and giving her silken robes a twitch. The sound came back then, a low chant that started in the back of the stadium and worked its way forward. Xena's name. Gabrielle took a step forward and ducked ahead towards her partner's mostly naked body.
"Do we have a plan yet?"
"Sure." Xena gave in, and got over it. "Start a riot and run like Hades."
"That's not funny."
"I wasn't joking." Xena turned and reached behind her into the crowd of strutting, milling athletes. She gave the nearest buttocks a savage pinch, then turned swiftly back to her partner and issued Gabrielle a grim smile.
"We need a distraction."
"Hey, get your hands off me, you!"
A loud, very male voice thundered back.
"Didn't touch you, mustard breath!"
An even louder voice yelled back.
"You pinched my ass, sissy boy!"
"You think I'd touch something that smells that bad? Move it, pig face!"
The men started shoving each other, and in a moment, it was pandemonium as the other athletes joined in or scrambled to get out of the way. The crowd roared its approval and clapped, thinking it was a new show being put on for their benefit. Xena ducked under one somewhat drunken man's beefy arm and tugged Gabrielle with her, ignoring the cries of protest from the other bards. They got to the edge of the platform, just as Xena spotted a squad of the city police, the council's private force, heading their way. Quickly, she knelt as the Amazon and her families clustered around them.
"Listen to me. We're in a lot of trouble."
"Trouble?"
Cyrene queried.
"Xena, for once, everything's going your way. What do you mean?"
"Moms, she's right. We've got to get out of here. There's no time to explain."
Gabrielle put her hand on Xena's shoulder.
"What's the plan?"
Ephany picked up on the urgency.
"Ah, good question."
Xena let her eyes rake across the crowd. The only thing keeping the guards away from them, the council members were conferring with more guards and behind them. The warrior growled softly. Her old friend, the road, the man she knocked out. There was no way to get past all of them to the main gates on the road, and the other, smaller entrance only led towards the water, where they'd be trapped on the waterfront and...
"Quick!" She grabbed Ephany's shoulder. "Get everyone out the smaller gate and down to the ships. And Philippus has a big merchantman berth down there."
"Aye, General. We'll be berthed there, but..."
The militia ship captain edged over to her, hearing her words.
"What's going on?"
"Preston, we need to get everyone out of here. Fast!"
Gabrielle told him.
"The city council wants Xena and I to do something we're not going to do, and they'll use you all as bargaining chips."
"Right."
Preston signaled his mates.
"Down the hatch, you lot. Everyone to the ship!"
"Great." Xena started to descend. "Now..." She looked around. "What about you?" Ephany asked, grabbing hold of her leg, as Gabrielle took Dory from Cyrene, who was attempting to explain to the very confused Amphipolitan elders.
"You're coming with us, right?"
"Eventually."
The warrior moved the grip.
"We'll distract them, then meet up with you down there. Now move!"
She felt Gabrielle putting Dory's backpack around her shoulders, and she tied the straps around her stomach firmly. Ephany hopped onto the platform with her and pursued the matter.
"Xena, you can't fight off the entire city of Athens. Let us help!"
The guards were pushing their way through the crowd. Xena knew they were running out of time. She took a breath to rebuff the Amazon, then Gabrielle slipped and neatly pulled rank for her.
"Eph, don't make us worry about all of them being safe. We need you to guard them and get to the ship. Xena and I can take care of ourselves," she told her regent firmly. "Please go. We're out of time."
Reluctantly, Ephany leapt down the stage and took charge, and they started to shove their way around the back side of the platform towards lower, smaller entryway, which is far more sparsely guarded. Gabrielle exhaled.
"What about your weapons, E?"
she asked as they moved to the center of the squabbling athletes. The two biggest men were tussling near the front, to the enormously pleased cheers of the crowd.
"Whichever one of you guys win gets to fight Xena!"
A man in the front row yelled.
"I got 100 dinars on her!"
"Feel like the village prize mare,"
Xena muttered. Gabrielle found a moment to give her a head-to-foot look, unable to prevent a smirk from appearing, despite the dire situation they were in.
"Well, honey,"
Xena grabbed her arm. "We've got to get to that tunnel there. our gears just inside. Gabriel started easing way through the jostling bodies, leading Xena back towards the way she'd come.
And then?
We'll play it by ear.
Nifty, Gabriel exhaled. Dory, hold on tight, okay?
She glanced to her right, and between two women's breasts spotted the guards almost up to the platform. The lead guard spotted her and pointed, then shouted to his comrade.
Uh-oh.
Run!
Xena pushed her towards the tunnel. Grab the bags and just keep running. Gabriel leaped off the platform and stumbled, then caught her balance and bolted for the tunnels, dodging the lighter throngs of people. She reached the tunnel just before the guard did and kept going, blinking her eyes to try and adjust to the darkness.
Xena, where... Yo!
Her boot caught on the bags and sent her sprawling.
Son of a Buckeye!
She heard Xena's boot steps behind her and scrambled over their gear, scraping her knees on the stone floor before her hands touched the familiar cloth and leather. She got the straps around their arms just in time to brace herself, as Xena's grip caught her up and yanked her to her feet, the warrior's momentum taking both of them rapidly into the darkness.
Halt!
A male voice echoed after them.
Halt and we'll shoot!
Xena!
Just keep running,
Xena responded.
It's dark. We're moving away from them. They'll probably hit themselves in the ass if they try.
Remember what you have on your back, Gabriel replied. She can't catch arrows.
A pause.
Yet.
After them! Hurry!
A thwacking sound made Gabriel jump, and she felt a faint sting as a bit of chip stone hit her arm.
Do we know where we're going?
She asked tensely.
That way.
Xena headed down a hallway that started to slant up.
That way. That leads right back up to the...
Just keep running.
Xena overrode her.
Trust me.
The sound of crowd was increasing again, and the sound of footsteps behind him also. Gabriel just crossed her fingers and hoped for the best. To be continued.
Well, that concludes chapter 14 and episode 103. I hope everyone's enjoying the show. We're getting closer and closer to the end of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. And as everyone knows, by the time we reach the end of this, that the next story after this will be my story, the one that I actually wrote. Which, by the way, I am currently writing a new story. Several chapters into it, I actually bought an antique roll-top desk and an antique banker's lamp and everything just to get into the spirit of doing the writing, which, of course, was also my little early birthday present to myself. Yay me. But I hope everybody's enjoying the show. It's nice to be back, and I want to say, once again, thank you to everybody. I really appreciate all the kind thoughts. So, everyone, until the next episode, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye.
You better watch out, cause we come. You got another one, Mr. Fat.